Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A poem from which you'll no doubt recall one familiar line. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land, here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome, her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she. With silent lips, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift up my lamp beside the golden door. That poem is called New Colossus by Emma Lazarus, written in 1883. It's a sonnet written as a fundraiser for the pedestal upon which the Lady Liberty, the Statue of Liberty, now stands. And it was a successful fundraiser. They raised enough money to buy that pedestal that now sits underneath it. It's no miracle that Lady Liberty blesses those who pass by with the promise of freedom. Not a miracle. The blessing, of course, was won with a well-fought fight, with many lives lost along the way. There's something about that statue that we marvel at and ponder over, the number. Not the height of the statue or the cost to build it, but just think of the number of lives Lady Liberty has looked upon as the tired and poor passed from ship to shore, or even flew by with a nod or a wave to the promise she stands for. Today, for similar reasons, greater marvel is due for another. A man who often had one or even two hands lifted up in blessing and a light of glory shining brightly.
Bring me your tired, your poor, he says,
centuries before the lady in the harbor. The man in our text today had withdrawn from tough times, got in a boat, and sailed to a desolate place by himself. When the crowds heard it, they followed on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd gathered, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Bring me your tired, your poor. But healing was not the main thing, not the miracle on this particular day. On this day, a miracle of proportion, of number, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, the disciples had already determined it was time to send everybody home. It was getting late. It was a desolate place. And they even say, let them go buy food for themselves. It even says in the Bible, a little later on, if a man shall not work, neither shall he eat. But the man from the boat challenged their logic and stretched their sensibilities to see the miracle of number behind the man related to the compassion he can't contain. They need not go away, he said. You give them something to eat. Surprised, flustered, argumentative, the disciples were focused on the material, or the lack thereof, and not the miracle behind the man. We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish, hardly enough to feed the 12 disciples, much less 5,000 men besides women and children. But the man insisted,
bring me your tired, your poor.
Let them sit down in the grass, for it's time to invoke a heavenly blessing upon the little we do have. One variation of a prayer that many of you pray, I pray at my house from time to time too, is this. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let thy gifts to us be blessed. And, here's the variation, let there be an ample share on every table, everywhere. We pray this because we are prone to see things often as less than ample, don't we? What seems too little must not be enough. We do the same thing when we look to ourselves for answers to problems that we can't readily solve. What can we do when we lack? Like, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough food. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough friends. I don't have enough strength. I don't have enough tears. I don't have enough health. I'll have to work. I'll have to fish. I'll have to bake. And this will take hours. We'll be the tired and the poor ones soon. But we only see as far as the eye allows until we let go and listen to God work. With Him, we can see further, beyond. One time, there wasn't enough wine for a wedding. Jesus' mother didn't send everybody away saying, hey, send the masses home so they can go home and buy wine for themselves. Rather, she turned the problem over to her son. And then she told the servants, do whatever he says. And we know the rest of the story, right? There was plenty of wine for everyone, and more than enough, and the best of the wines. He saved the best for last. So what about the bread and the fish? With Jesus, if you don't think 5 loaves and 2 fish are enough, just wait until he has nothing. Wait till his hands are nailed down and his feet are fixed to a tree. Someone wailed out real loud, hey, if you are the Son of God, take yourself down from there, Houdini. And the man said, with arms outstretched, bring me your tired, your poor, and I will heal them. I am the light of the world and the bread from heaven. One miracle fed 5,000 men besides women and children with bread abundant and 12 baskets full left over. The other miracle, the greatest miracle indeed, feeds you and me with more than we deserve or can imagine. Life abundant. Death is gone. Future restored. One gives bread for the stomach as we pray, give us, Lord, our daily bread. The other gives living bread from heaven for the tired and the poor sinners, for you and for me. Oh, living bread from heaven, we just sang. How well you feed your guest. The gifts that you have given have filled my heart with rest. Oh, wondrous food of blessing, oh, cup that heals our woes. My heart, this gift possessing, with praises overflows. My Lord, you have led me to this most holy place, and with yourself have fed me the treasures of your grace. For you have freely given what earth could never buy, the bread of life from heaven, that now I shall not die. If the new Colossus were rewritten today, I'm not sure what it would say. We've seemed to have lost the appreciation of poetry, along with patriotism to a degree. We might say, give me your tired, your poor, but only if they're not terrorists or drug lords or hackers. It doesn't rhyme, but it doesn't matter. Welcome to our land, but only after you've passed a TSA screening. These are necessary changes to protect the freedom of the many from the terror and trouble of the few. But what Christ did, he did for all. He did for all, for the few, who will become the many in the life and the world to come. The upstanding citizens in every land, as well as the terrorist, the drug lord, the hacker. That hearing what he did on the cross and by the open tomb for all, they might repent here in time and live restored by the same bread that feeds us forgiveness and peace. What poem should we sing? I don't know. But it's certainly something worth pondering and believing, or maybe reimagining the words to be about Jesus. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your thoughts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.